All right. How many is ready for 2016? Yeah, I'm ready. This one's gone. Let's do this all over again, right? Actually, today is kind of one of those days of transition, and so we're going to kind of give you a transitional message. It's a standalone message today. I've just really felt really strong in my heart. Can't wait to share it with you. I believe God wants to say something to us specifically today as a church. Before we get into the message, though, I would like to just give a shout-out to Taylor, who is our children's coordinator, who is back from fresh off the mission field from Nicaragua. And come on, let's give it up for Taylor. Appreciate the job he's doing around here. And he flew out on one Sunday, came back the next Sunday, flew in and went straight for the airport, straight here for our candlelight service last Sunday. And just had that missions glow all over his face. And so we're going to have some time in the days ahead to catch up, hear some stories, and we'll be sharing some of that with all of you, just some report back of just what God did on the opportunity to go make a difference in Nicaragua. And so we just so thankful that we had the opportunity to be a part of that and be able to see Taylor go and be a part of his very first missions trip. And so I hope all of us have that opportunity to go on a missions trip. I believe it will change your life. And so, well, I want to begin jumping into this message, and again with the recognition that this is a Sunday where, you know, you're kind of looking back over the year, but you're also looking forward to a new year. It's a time of reflection. It's also a time of great anticipation. We just came through Thanksgiving, the Christmas season. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of numb at this point from some of it. It was just, I think, unprecedented for me personally, just the level of busyness this season. And I always say I'll get my Christmas shopping done before the season starts, because I know when the season starts, it's all bets are off. And I did not do that. And yes, I was standing in a line. What evening was that? Thursday? No, that would have been Wednesday evening at 1:30 in the morning. Yes, and I looked at my watch and I said, this is not good. Kim was not with me. She was in bed. I was there, you know, thinking, I hope she doesn't wake up and realize I'm still out here shopping. And I don't know how Christmas looked for you, and I don't know how it looks now, but sometimes, you know, afterwards, you know, the tree, it looks so beautiful and everything's under the tree, packaged, you know, wrapped with care underneath the tree in hopes that, what's that song? That's the poem that Saint Nick would soon be there, okay? And then afterwards, everything is ripped to shreds. Everything is everywhere. If they're toys that should be in one part, they're in 10 different parts, and they're kind of scattered around. And it's just that aftermath food, you know, now it's, you know, that was all beautifully presented is all kind of hodgepodge, what's left over, and everybody's tired of ham probably at this point. And then also it brings on the after Christmas, you know, after Thanksgiving has its own day. Well, after Christmas has its own day, and it's called returns and exchanges. And I really didn't want that. And I even had a discussion with one of my kids, look, if that's not what you like, we'll go back and we'll get what you really like. And so, you know, it's that time. Let me just present it this way. There may be some things in our life that we would like to return and like to exchange that are not the stuff we got around the tree. Now, let me just say, I'm not talking about your spouse. You know, you can't return your spouse, can't exchange your spouse. Not talking about your kids, okay? But perhaps there are decisions, regrets over the course of this year that we have had, and I think some of that is normal, okay? There's things that you unwrapped that you wish you never had unwrapped. There's things that you said that you wish you had never said. There's things that you did that you wish you had never did. You never did that. There's things that you, and that there's things that that you unwrapped, and then there's things that you never unwrapped you wish you had unwrapped. There's things that we wish you would have said but didn't. There's things that you wish you could have done or got an opportunity to do that you never did get taken care of. There's things that you did not accomplish and goals that maybe you didn't reach. And so, you know, and there's some things that you unwrapped that 2 seconds after you unwrapped it, now think about this, around, and if you got kids, you know what I'm talking about. You get them that toy, and they unwrap it, but it takes a little bit of assembly to get it working. But they go into it so fast, rapid fire, that the thing is broke within 2 seconds, okay? You didn't take time to read the directions. You didn't take time to do it right. So now we just got you this brand new gift, and it's already broken. Well, have you ever had a time in your life where you kind of rapid fired and you kind of said some things out there, and once it you spoke it, once it was out of your mouth, the damage was already done. It was too late. You know you wanted to reassemble it, but then you tried to reassemble it and tried to redo what you just said. Instead, you made it worse, and now it's a mess, and you're trying to figure out how you put all that back together, and it's hard to do that. I remember one time I got a cabinet. We were remodeling our house, and I bought a cabinet from, I think it was either Lowe's or Home Depot. I think it was Lowe's. Put together this cabinet. I'm not good at putting things together. Okay, number one, in my defense, I don't have the right tools. Okay, it always helps to have the right tools. And I made such a mess of this thing, I said, look, just put it together as best we can. Take it back to the store, and let's just start over. Let's just start over. Sometimes you just got to do that. Or the time when I bought my kids the basketball goal, and I didn't have the right tools. You know, after I finally got that basketball goal together, and it was a whole day's worth of labor, I found the right tools. Sometimes, though, we lack the right tools to repair the job and to make the difference. And so, and sometimes, if you're like me, you take the simple things, and it becomes very complex. And I've said that so many times in assembling things together. I said, why is it that something is supposed to be so simple is so complicated and oftentimes beyond the repair? So I say all that to present this to you, and that is in the way of a question. And that is, if you're like me and you've unwrapped some things you shouldn't have unwrapped, or you should have unwrapped some things, you follow me, you know, there's some things that you look back over and regrets. And so the question is it too late? Is it too late? On the last Sunday of the year, is it too late? Reminded of Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol, and the story of the Scrooge, and he found out that it was not too late. You may be asking yourself, is it too late? Is it too late for my marriage in some situations? Is it too late for my kids? Is it too late for regarding the issues on my job? Is it too late for our finances? Is it too late for my health? Have I destroyed my health? Living an unhealthy lifestyle? Is it too late maybe to even have happiness? And another question, is it possible for me to have a do-over? Is it possible to start again? Is it possible to begin again, or am I way beyond that, or am I bound to my past? Another question is it actually possible to be free from my past and move into a bright future with promise and hope where I can really experience the joy of living? Well, today, no matter how little or how much things are messed up for you, I want to present this idea for you, and that is that you can have a clean slate. There in your message, in your worship guide, there's some notes that you can use today, and all that is today is blank, okay? So I've given you a clean slate, and you can take some notes on that if you like, but I want you to see that as, look, God gives us this thing called a clean slate, no matter where you are. I want to talk about this, and to do this, I want to give you a story that's out of the Old Testament, a story that probably all of us are very familiar with, and let me just set this up. There's the nation of Israel, and we know that this group of people, God's people, were in a place called Egypt for 400 years. They were in bondage. We would call that slavery for 400 years. And God heard the cry of the people coming up before him, but God always had a plan of deliverance in place. By the way, God's got a plan for us in place for our deliverance, for us personally, wherever we are, whatever that looks like. And so here was Egypt in this place of bondage, and God called Moses. You know the story, how God spoke to him out of the burning bush and called Moses to be the deliverer, the one that would come, and God would use him to set the people free from bondage. And after a series of miracles and plagues that were bestowed upon, poured out upon Egypt, God's people were set free. And yet, they were free, but really were they? Because what we discovered was, though they were out of Egypt, there was still some Egypt on the inside. They were out of Egypt. They were in this transitional place, kind of like maybe we are on the calendar. They were in this transitional place. They were out of Egypt, but yet they had the promise of this land ahead of them. And they saw, all they saw was obstacles all around them of to getting to that promised land. But here's what I want to present to you today, and that is the biggest obstacle I believe that they faced was not what lied ahead of them, but the biggest obstacle was what was behind them. And so I don't know what we have ahead of us in 2016, but it may be that oftentimes it's not what lies ahead that's the biggest challenge, but it's what is behind us that oftentimes we mark ourselves with. We put a sign on us of our past. We have our history spelled out on us. I saw one guy, he had tattoos, and he had his whole history of his life on his arm, just tattooed. Some of us are that way, but it's mentally, it's emotionally, it's spiritually. We are just marked with the past and who the past says we are and what the past precedent has said, and we take that into our future, and it limits us from inheriting the promised land, if you will, that God has for us. And so here they were, and God had taken care of, God can take care of what lies ahead. We know that God was going to take care of all of their enemies, and God was going to use them to do that, but only if he could get them past the stuff of the past. We know the story. God had to raise up a new generation. God had to raise up something new. And I present to you, I believe God wants to raise up something new here. I believe God wants to raise up something in our church. I believe God wants to raise up something in our homes. And God wants to raise up a new spirit and to be able to conquer and do what God's called us to do. Somebody mentioned this to me several weeks ago, and I thought it was a really good point, and that is in Ephesians. We won't go there, but let me just tell you about it. In Ephesians, there's a list of spiritual armor that we are to wear as Christians. The helmet of salvation, right? Shield of faith, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, sword of the Spirit, right? We have all this armor, but if you look at the list of all of this, there's nothing that guards the back. Why is there nothing to protect the back? And that's because God's got you back. God's got you back, right? God takes care of the past, but you got to let him take care of the past. And he's the only one that can really take care of the past. And so the story is this. And that is that Israel had come out of this place of bondage. And we see the story where Moses goes to the mountain of God to receive the law, the Ten Commandments. But while Moses was on the mountain receiving the law and gravitating to God, Aaron was at the bottom of the mountain and he was gravitating to the people, and they were crafting an idol for the people. Well, when this occurred, God spoke to Moses and said, "Moses, my people have sinned a great sin. Get down quick. Go down and take care of it." So he's commanded by God to get down there and address this. And here's the thing. God was ready to wipe them out. You know, a lot of times we cry, we want justice, do we? I think we want mercy is what we need and what we really want, because God is a God of mercy, but he's also a God of wrath as well. And God was ready to wipe them out, and Moses becomes the intercessor. He intercedes for God's people that God would have mercy and not meet judgment upon them. And so look with me, if you will, in Exodus chapter 32. And let's just pick it up there, this story. Exodus chapter 32, verse 15. Moses turned and went down the mountain with, now look what he had in his hand, with two tablets of the covenant law in his hands. They were inscribed on both sides, front and back. The tablets were the work of God. The writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. So here he was carrying down these sacred tablets that God himself, with his finger, if you will, carved out these Ten Commandments. And so here was what God had presented, was this standard of living your life. And by the way, all the commandments of God really are not for God. And this is what we need to see in this. They're not for God. All the commandments really are for you. How to live life in a way that you're going to enjoy life and be able to benefit from life and be able to be blessed by life. The commandments are not written for God, but they're actually written for the benefit of us, right? And so here comes Moses down the mountain, and when he comes upon this scene and he sees what is going on, of this horrific scene of idolatry and worshiping an idol God instead of the true and living God. Notice what happens. Look in verse 19. When Moses approached the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, his anger burned and he threw the tablets out of his hand, breaking them to pieces at the foot of the mountain. So here was these sacred tablets, and he destroyed them. And that was chapter 32, and there was great vengeance that happened that day upon the people. 3,000 were killed that day because of what had happened. There's always a consequence when it comes to sin and disobeying God's laws. But in chapter 33, the next chapter, and I won't get very much into this, but I encourage you to look at this. But there is a conversation between God and Moses, and it's a conversation of interceding. And God's saying, look, I don't know. I'll let you go, but I'm not going with you. Because if I go with you, I might destroy these people. I mean, they're stiff-necked people. They're hard-headed. I might just destroy them. I might just wipe them out. And so Moses intercedes and said, God, if you don't go with us, we're not going. We can't go. And furthermore, the more that he pressed in interceding to God for the people, Moses got closer and closer and closer to God. Every time God would respond, okay, Moses, Moses would just take it a step further and say, okay, God, if you're for that, let me ask for one more thing. And he asked this question. He wanted to see the glory of God. He began to intercede for him, for the people, but he wanted to get closer and closer to God. As he did that, then he came down from the mountain, and we're going to get into that in just a moment, but in Exodus chapter 34, verse 1, notice what took place. The Lord said to Moses, as he was coming up to actually reveal himself and show Moses his glory and let him really behold the glory of God, here's what God said to him. Look at this. And the Lord said in verse 1, chisel out two stone tablets like the first one. And I will write on them the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. And I don't know what you see in that story, but it really, really spoke to me that, you know, we've all are guilty of breaking the Ten Commandments. We're all guilty of missing the mark. We're all guilty of regrets in 2015 that we've made and things that we've come up short and things that we shouldn't have done or we could have done better. There's all kind of things, but God, in his mercy and his loving kindness, he says, look, I'm going to give you a clean slate. We're going to do this again. And I'm so thankful for that, because God is a God of second chances. God is a God of do-overs. God is a God where we can begin again. And so I want us to look at really how we're able to acquire that clean slate and how we're able to really begin again, and instead of gravitating to the things that are of idolatry. Now, we may think, well, that's kind of a strange analogy, Pastor. They were making this golden calf. They're making this idol God. We don't have golden calves and idols. But I would ask the question, do we? Now, it may not be a golden calf, but I would say to you that if there's anything that's between you and God, it becomes an idol. When we put our focus and we put our priorities on other things other than Him, and He's not first and foremost in our life, it becomes an idol. It becomes the focus of our attention, the focus of our interest, the focus of our day when we get up. And can I tell you that I believe that the chaos often that we have in our life, the disarray that we have in our life, and maybe some of the disorder that perhaps we, some of us may have seen in 2015, it's not because we're not smart enough, bright enough, good-looking enough, because y'all are good-looking people. You know what I'm saying? All right. But it is rather that the priorities of our life is God first in our life. And I know I'm talking to a bunch of people who love God and are here on this Sunday loving the Lord, but I just think we should examine ourselves and say, God, I just want to make sure that going forward, I'm gravitating to the mountain, okay? I'm gravitating to your presence. Because here's my heart. This has really been stirring in me. My prayer is in 2016, we will see the glory of God. We'll experience the presence of God. We'll experience the mercy and the grace of God. I was looking at some matters regarding our church this week, and I saw some signs of some encouraging things. It was actually in the area of our church finances. It was this past week, and I was looking at some things, and I just sensed. I mean, this is just, take this for what you will, but I just felt the Lord speak to my heart. Now watch what I'm going to do. I think sometimes we try so much in our own strength to do things and to get things done in our own life, in different areas of our life. And sometimes, like I said about the toys under the tree, we sometimes just make worse of a mess trying to do it ourselves. And I've sensed the Lord speak to me, now watch what I'm about to do. And it was almost like I could see this field of just, that's been just cleared. You know, you ever seen a field that's just cleared? I mean, it's down to the dirt. It's been, you know, maybe it's been cultivated. It's just been plowed up and it's just clear. But the things that have been sown over the years and in prayer and in labor and in trusting the Lord, listen, it's God that gives the increase in our lives. And I don't know, in my spirit, I could just see some things begin to sprout, begin to come forth in ways that it hadn't before. And it was like the Lord was saying, just now watch what I'm going to do. I tell you, when we stand back, in fact, there's a scripture that we're talking about the glory of God that says, stand still and see the glory of God. That means it's not about your work, it's about His work. Now, He calls us to be a part of that. And there is a work for us to do. And He uses our hand and He uses our feet. But what we must understand and be clear on, we are just the vessels, we are just the catalyst, the conduit through which God flows. But it is His work, right? Right? Even the Bible says, look, Paul does this, Apollos does this, one has this ministry, one has this. But it is God that gives the increase. Ladies and gentlemen, we are reliant completely upon God. But here's the first point I want you to see in this message, and that is this, that the children of Israel, where they messed up was they failed to wait on God. They failed to wait on God. And so that would be the first step, I believe, in getting a clean slate. Instead of trying to make more of a mess of the mess, step back and wait on God and put it in His hands, whatever that situation is, and trust in Him. This word wait requires a word called trust. We must trust in God. Another way of putting that is have faith in God. When you don't know what else to do, you need to just stand still and wait on God. When you've done all you can do, and sometimes it gets, for us, He is the last resort. In other words, when we've done all we know to do, we say, God, I don't know what else to do. I give up. And God said, thank you. That's where you should have started, right? You should have started at the point where God is first and consult Him first instead of last, right? He needs to be, in fact, prayer, well, I'll get to that point later, but prayer needs to be our first response, not our last resort. right? He needs to be the one we run to first before we've made a mess of it. He said, would you let go of it so I can take care of this, right? And so the first word there is wait on God, trust in God, have faith in God, because listen, the promises of God are yes and amen. The promises of God are true. The promises of God are this, that no good thing will he withhold from them that he loves, right? We sang it this morning. He works all things together for our good. He is looking after us. He cares for us. And so I think sometimes when we approach God, I don't know where God is. I don't know what he's up to. I don't know if he even knows where I am or what I'm going through. I don't know what to do in this situation. I'm beside myself. I don't know what to do. That's really where Israel was. They were at the foot of the mountain. They said, as far as Moses goes, we don't even know if he's alive. He might have been killed. They were afraid of God. In fact, Israel's worst days, the darkest day of Israel, was the day when they said to Moses, Moses, you hear from God. Don't let him speak to us. We're going to take a step back because we're afraid of him. And you hear from God and you tell us, but don't let him speak directly to us. That was the darkest day of Israel. And I want to tell you, our darkest day is when we just wait for Sunday to roll around and get the preacher to say, come up with something good, make me feel good, and let me receive that and go on my way. Listen, every one of us needs, what we hope to cultivate around here is a self-feeder program, right? Feed yourself every day, but trust in God every day for yourself and know that you yourself need to hear from God. But they're waiting, and they said, well, nothing's happening. So we give up. Pastor, that was an old story from a long time ago. Can I tell you, after pastoring a church for a long time, it's still prevalent with God's people today. When we don't see something happening, or it's not happening our way or the way we like it, guess what we do? We give up. We give up on our marriage. We give up on our children. We give up on our job. We give up on our church. We give up on the pastor. We give up on our neighbors. Come on, we give up, right? Wait on God and trust God and know God's got you. God's got you. And what does the Bible say? It says, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not, right? If you don't lose heart, another version of that says. Look at Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope. Israel got into trouble because they were unwilling to wait. Even Jesus himself, when he was leaving this world, right? What did he say? Wait for the promise. Terry, wait for the promise. Wait on me. And I think that is an area in our lives that we need to develop and learn how to do, and that's wait. Right? Wait. Point number two, and that is that we need to rely on God's mercy. Rely on God's mercy. And what that means is I'm going to turn from the past, I'm going to turn from sin, I'm going to turn from my failure, turn from my own pride or self-reliance or idols or whatever that looks like. The Bible encourages us to sin no more, to renounce sin. And so I would present it to you this way. Turn from your way, turn from your will, and turn from your word. While you're turning from your word, what I'm saying is turn to God's word and rely upon his mercy. Not only read it, but follow it. In the new year, I want to encourage us that let's be a people that diligently, faithfully read the Word every day. It should be the first thing you look at before you look at your email, before you look at your Facebook. Come on, before you look at your face, right? Okay, look at God's Word and get God's Word into you. But not only read it, but follow it. I want to take this story up. I'm going to read a few scriptures here from Exodus chapter 34. So powerful. Beginning in verse 4. Look at this with me. So Moses chiseled out two stone tablets like the first ones and went up Mount Sinai early in the morning as the Lord had commanded him. And he carried the two stone tablets in his hand. And then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaiming his name. And this is what the Lord had told him. There's a place in me. There's a cliff in the rock. I'm going to hide you where I could pass by. You can't see my face because no man can live and see my face. But I'm going to pass by and show the hinder part of me, and I'm going to reveal myself. But when the revelation came, this is what it looked like. And he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Isn't that beautiful? That's who our God is. Then he goes on to say, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin, their children for the sin of their parents to the third and fourth generation. And then notice Moses' response. Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshiped. And he said, Lord, Lord, he said, if I have found favor in your eyes, then let the Lord go with us. Here he is continuing to intercede. Although this is a stiff-necked people, forgive our wickedness and sin and take us as your inheritance. Then the Lord said, I am making a covenant with you before all your people. I will do wonders never before done in any nation in all the world. The people you live among will see how awesome is the work that I, the Lord, will do for you. So God's saying, because you've drawn close to me, I'm able then to manifest myself and do miracles and show my glory, not just to you, but show my glory beyond and show who I am through you. Can I tell you, this struck me. I believe in 2016, this is what I'm asking God for. God, let us so draw so close to you that you'll be able to reveal who you are to us. We'll know who you are, and that through us, your glory will shine and make a difference to other people in the world. That's what we're all about. Can I get a good amen right there? Preaching 90% better than y'all are amen. I'm just saying. And so look, so he says, I'm making a covenant with you. But then he says this, obey what I command you today. I will drive out before you the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now, you say, well, who in the world is all that? Well, don't even worry about that. Whatever God needs to conquer in your life, he's going to conquer it. That's what we can take away from that. Whatever it stands before you is difficult and impossible. Guys, nothing is impossible with our God. Rely on his mercy. And that's what Moses did. And what was revealed to him was that God is a merciful, compassionate, gracious, loving, faithful God who delights to show mercy to us. And he's only looking for the opportunity to do that if we'll allow him. Third point, pray. Pray. That's simple. Moses had a conversation with God. Aaron had a conversation with everybody else. Think about it. Oh, I don't know about you, but that one gets me right there. We hash everything out to everybody around us. And we discuss it, and we analyze it, and we turn it over and upside down one to the other. And we get in circles, and we say, he said, she said, and then she said, he said, and then I said, but then I said, but then he said, so if she said that, then I said, well, you know, right? Come on. Man, y'all are quiet out there today. All right. I mean, really. I mean, that's kind of, so instead of discussing with everybody, pray. Take needless pain we bear all because we don't take everything to the Lord in prayer, one hymn we used to sing says, right? And so 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 is the verse for this. If my people, if, there's a big if there, if maybe only, if they would, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I'm ready to do all this for them if they'll just pray and humble themselves and turn from their stuff and seek me. I'll do it for them. So I'm going to encourage you. We're going to begin next Sunday, the 3rd. We're going to do this January the 3rd through January the 23rd. We're going to have our annual 21 days of prayer and fasting. And I want to encourage you to be a part of this in some way, somehow, just be a part of this. Now, practically, it doesn't work too well for us to have the service here at 7. I know you guys are getting ready to go to work and all those kinds of things. but we have an online, you just heard about it, online source resource you can use. If they did it like, if it's like last year, I believe it will be, these services that we're connecting to live with another church that is doing the prayer service. They have their service from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., but theirs is a different time zone. So for us, it becomes 7 to 8. But these services are archived, so you can go on any time of day, in the evening if you want to do that as your prayer time. I encourage you, we'll have a link on our website where you can connect to that, and you can just go right on there at crosspointworshipcenter.com. And any that evening, maybe it's you and your wife or your family wants to set aside a time from 7 to 8 p.m. in the evening instead of in the morning, or whatever is best for you. And then you can look at that. And each service will be archived for 24 hours until the next one starts, and then that one will be archived for 24 hours. You follow me? So I really want us to connect and be a part of this and pray and seek the Lord, and let us see what God will do for us personally and for us as a church. In fact, let me just mention this. We're talking about prayer and fasting, and we'll talk about that next week, what that looks like. If you're planning on doing a fast, let me just get a little practical here with you. If you're planning on doing a fast, a fasting of food of any kind, let me just always say, for medical reasons, if you're planning on a fast, you might want to consult with your doctor. Just make sure that's okay if you're going for a real strict fast. So you may fast food where you're just drinking water. I encourage you to juice if you do that, because your body still needs nutrients and needs to function. Moses, when he went up to the mountain, he was up there 40 days without food or water. You better really be with God if that's what you're doing. I'm just saying, okay, especially water. I don't encourage that. That's a supernatural. That has to be divinely called by God to do that. That's between you and God. But I'm saying just be careful to take care of yourself. But if you're going to be fasting, I encourage you a few days before, get off caffeine. Get off caffeine. Go ahead, have the headache. Get it out of the way, right? And so that you're ready. But I'm telling you, it'll affect you not only spiritually, but physically. Some of us just need to detox. I mean, some doctors even give you a fast to do just for health reasons. Detox all these pollutants out of our body. Okay, and there's also a Daniel fast. Daniel fast is a 21-day fast as well, where Daniel, he did not eat the king's meat. He would eat vegetables and fruit only. He didn't eat bread. He didn't eat sweets, but he ate vegetables and fruit only. And so you might want to do that kind of fast. And by the way, if for physical reasons, for some reason you can't fast, I encourage you to do some abstinence, okay? And people say, well, you fast TV. Well, you can fast TV. That's really not called fasting. Fasting has to do with food, but it's abstinence. It's abstaining. It's taking a time where you would, you know, be watching whatever your program is on TV, and instead you say, I'm going to sacrifice that, and I'm going to take that time, and I'm going to give to the Lord, and I'm going to call on His name, right? I want to tell you, if you will take the challenge to do this, what a difference is going to happen. It's going to make a huge difference in your life. So I'm going to encourage you with that. And maybe you can only do one meal a day, or maybe you fast during the day and then you eat during the evening after the sun goes down. I'm not trying to be legalistic, but I'm just saying there are several options. We'll give you some resources again online that you can use and that you can look at, and we can help. And if you need any help from us, feel free to call on me, and I can give you some other resources, especially in the area of juicing and that kind of thing. But I don't want to get all technical with it, but the point is that we really seek God. Moses was able to experience the glory of God because he stepped out of where the people were to where God was. And the Bible talks, let me just mention this, the Bible talks about three cords, and when these three cords are not easily broken. Well, Jesus, when he was teaching, he mentioned three areas that God will reward when we do it personally unto him. And that is that Jesus said, when you pray, do it this way. Not to be seen, but you're doing it unto me. When you fast, and he talked about that. And then he said, and when you give. And in each of those areas, there was a reward attached to that. In other words, there's a blessing. There's a benefit from that. And I would encourage you during this time, man, if you just really want to see God's blessings on your life and you just want to walk in the favor of God, look, pray. In some way, however God leads you, fast or set some time aside for Him And third, give. Let this be a great time of giving unto the Lord. And see what God will do. And not only give financially, but give of yourself. Give of your time to someone. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to see God's blessings upon your life. In my life, when I fast and pray, there's no time I feel more, I don't feel it. There's no other time I feel more better, feel better than when I'm fasting, okay? My mind is more clear than ever before. So I want to encourage you in this as the Lord would lead you to do that. And so the fourth thing, final thing I want to give you today is to seek Him. Seek Him. I started to call this follow Jesus. Just follow Jesus. He's not just a, I said this at our candlelight service on last Sunday, He's not just a, this thing is not just a belief system, but it's following Him. It's following Him. And to tie into the Christmas that we're coming, this came out of wise men. You've heard this before. Wise men still seek Him. Okay? If we want to be wise, seek Him. And another thing, I thought this sounded a little bit odd for today, but seek His face. What does that mean, seek His face? Moses was wanting to see God. In fact, the Bible says he would talk to Him as a man talked to a friend face to face. And so what I'm saying is not just seek His hand, what He'll do for me, but God, I just want to know You. I just want to know You. Just want to know You. Just want to know You. Dwayne, if you'll come and help me close this out. Exodus chapter 33, verse 18. Then Moses said, "Now show me Your glory. Show me Your glory." And then in Exodus 34, 29, when Moses, and again, get this is amazing. Moses' desire was, "God, show me Your glory." And it says, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hand, he got a clean slate, right? And God rewrote His laws in his life, right? He was, and it says this, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. And I just think that's so beautiful. Now, in the movie, you see him coming down the first time, you know, from the bush, and his face was shining. But actually, this is where the Bible records this. It's actually after the second set of tablets that God had given to Moses that he came, and his face shone so bright that people was amazed by it. He actually had to put a veil over his face to cover the brightness of his face. Isn't that amazing? But I think to myself, okay, what does that mean for us? May we get so close to God that we will radiate with His love, with His joy, with His peace, that others cannot deny that we've been in the presence of God. Cannot deny that there is a living God because they can see Him through you and through your life. That's our desire. Our desire is that you can have a clean slate. God can, listen, it's not too late. Revelation chapter 21 verse 5 says, "He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.'" And then He said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." They're trustworthy and true. So, the question I started with, is it too late for my marriage, my kids, my job, my finances, my relationship, my health, my happiness? Is it too late? I'm going to tell you, it is not too late. God, listen, He can remove everything. He wipes our sins far from us. As far as the east is from the west, He removes our sins far from us. He gives us a new name. He writes our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Come on. He says, "I make all things new," so much so that He told Nicodemus, we're going to call it being born again. You could just be born again, born all over again. We're going to start all over. It's all new. All things are new. The past is the past. We're going to begin again anew and afresh. And the only thing that keeps you from doing that is that in your mind, in your heart, your spirit, you're still anchored to the past. And God's saying, "I have the power to deliver you and break every chain," as we sung this morning, "and set you free from your past so that you can move into a bright future." The world's tried to name you one thing, and your circumstances has tried to name you one thing, and it's hung a tag on you. But I'm going to tell you, He's given us a new name. He's given us a new identity. He's given us a royal blood. He's given us a promised land. He's given us a future and a hope. I don't mean to be excited, just so excited this morning, but I just feel this thing. God wants to do a new thing. And He says, "Behold, in Isaiah. I will do a new thing. Shall you not perceive it? Shall you not know it? Why does he ask that question? Because sometimes our mind is so set on the negative, or what this person says, or what our past is screaming about us, till we can't perceive it. And he says, do you not know it? Do you not see it? Can you not perceive it? And he says, behold, I will make a river in the desert. I'll make a way in the wasteland. I will cause things to change for you like you can't imagine. I'm going to do a new thing. And I just feel like speaking that over our church today. It just does today. I just got to tell you, I believe God wants to do a new thing. He wants to speak a new hope into your life and let you know that he's ready to change all things. So are we ready? Are we ready? If you'll bow your heads with me, we can begin again. So glad God just didn't give us one long day. He gave us different days. He gives us an ending to a day and a beginning to a new one. And I want to tell you, that's what he does in our life. He gives us a new beginning. It's actually possible to be free from your past and move into a bright future with promise and hope, where you can really experience the joy of living, of living. He's able to take our heart. Now, he wrote the commandments on tablets of stone. But he says, I'm not just going to write them on tablets of stone. I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. I'm going to write my laws on your heart. I'm going to put my spirit within you. So that instead of I got to do these laws, it becomes I get to follow Jesus. And that's what happens when we receive the mercy and grace of Jesus and we come to that point of surrendering and trusting him with our life. We wait on him. We rely on him. We pray. We seek him. We follow him. It begins when we come to know him personally. I'm going to reiterate right here. Our heads are still bowed. I'm just going to reiterate this to you, that that's really what we're doing as a church. We do these four things, but this is our hope. This is our hope out of all of that. Put simply is that our hope is that you will know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. Our hope as a church, for us, for others, that they will know God, they will find freedom, they will discover purpose, and that we'll together make a difference. That's what this thing is all about. And everything we do matters. Matters. Received a message from somebody, a friend from the past, had passed away on Christmas Day, and the reminder with that came how important it is what we are doing. It matters. It matters. It matters. It matters. Eternity matters. Father, thank you for the opportunity that we have of a church to know you. Lord, let us just be assured today, God, that everything is right between us and you, and that you are first in our life, and there's nothing between us and you, God. Nothing, Lord, that stands between us and you, God. So search our hearts today, and this would be our prayer. Jesus, come in. Examine my heart. Come on, let this be your prayer. Jesus, examine my heart. Search me. Try me. Know me. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Forgive me of my shortcomings. Forgive me of my failures. Cleanse me. Make me whole. Make me new. Come live inside of me. God, fill me with your spirit to enable me to follow you. And God, I pray for this church that you, O Lord, would fill this church with your glory. Lord, let us see, God, as you promised Israel that you were going to do miracles in this nation like no other nation. God, you've grafted us into that family. And I pray that in this place, in this house, God, you'll do the miraculous like we've never known. I pray that lives would be forever changed. I pray hearts would be mended. I pray the healing power of Jesus be known. Heal hearts, heal lives, heal bodies. God, raise the dead, open the blinded eyes, and cause the deaf to hear. And God, let us, Lord, see your glory manifested so that all will know there is a God. He's alive and well, and he's on a rescue mission to reach the lost. Thank you for calling us into that with you. Help us, Lord, in 2016, Lord, to be a people that makes a difference as we allow you to work through us. For your glory, in Jesus' name we pray.